Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
Yeah. Oh, that's a watching football day.
Yes, sir! 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Reaction Monday. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. Fleegs on the other side. And we got you here on this Monday morning till 5 a.m. And the warm-up show after a much better weekend of football. And obviously, now we have the championship games all lined up. And we're going to spend a lot of time complaining about the Giants. But I do want to start with the big game at the end of the night, obviously. As for me, the thing I take away from this game, and maybe, you know, I heard Lori talk a lot about legacies of the two quarterbacks, and that's what I was looking for, right? In some ways, you want to call it legacy, you want to call it the showdown of the MVPs, whatever the case may be. I am utterly disappointed and absolutely furious at the end of this game because ultimately, I don't know, with these two MVPs going against each other, I wanted the answer, right? I'm excited for Bills Chiefs. I think that is going to be a great game. But honestly, that was the most unsatisfying end to a game I can remember. Because I wanted the answer on who was going to win this game and who was going to blow this game and which one of these two quarterbacks was going to be the face of the victory or the loss. And I got to be honest with you. After playing that game, it looked like in the first half we were going to get that answer, and we got playoff Lamar Jackson, right? He goes down the field to start the game, puts it in the end zone. Then he throws the terrible pick. Then you get, you know, the fumble. And that first half, as, you know, Josh Allen does what he does, he sticks it in the end zone at the end of the half. They get away from the run. Some of the same stuff we talked about this Ravens team, right? And it looked like there was going to be, all right, here is what we got, right? As great as Lamar Jackson is and as good as the Ravens are, when they get into these games, they get away from who they are. Lamar isn't as good as he is in the regular season. That he makes the critical mistake instead of the critical successful play. And we were going to have our answer at the half, 21-10, the Bills have that opportunity to do the Francesa special and score going in and then score coming out in the second half. He puts it in the end zone. It's 21-10. And we'll get into the difference as we go through the morning at 888-808-1019 because there's a lot to get to in this game. But the first half played out as if, okay, this is the Ravens who get away from running the ball with Henry, who I think had less than 30 yards of rushing in the first half. They got away from it. They made critical mistakes. The Bills and Josh Allen are running down their throat. And that's the story of the game plan. And that's what we're going to end up saying as we move on. And then the second half happens, and they come out, and they force a three and out. They go down the field to get a field goal. They force another punt. And then they score a touchdown, and from that moment on, now you're like, okay, they're losing the turnover battle. They're not playing great. They had that miserable first half, but here they are. And instead of just taking the point, and I hate chasing points that early in the game, right? There's 3 minutes left. They score a touchdown to make it 21-19. And instead of just kicking the extra point and making it a 20-21 game, they go for two and don't get it, which sets them up down the stretch where they have to go for two at the end of the game instead of just kicking an extra point to tie. So that play right there, and they don't give it to Henry on the two-point conversion. And it's like, well, now the game is, we're going to get to see. And it's been reset. Lamar Jackson has stabilized things. The Ravens have stabilized things. They're moving the ball. They're back to the run game. And it just felt like, okay, we're going to get our answer. And then without question, after another Bills field goal, the most pivotal play in the game, without question, because I'm telling you, watched it. We all watched it. The Ravens were not going to be stopped. It had hit that point in the game where Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense had figured it out. And they were going down the field, and they were going to put it in the end zone to take the lead in this game. That's what was going to happen. And instead, Mark Andrews makes a dumb play trying to extend over the middle. If you watch the replay, and I heard Fliegelman talking about it, about doing too much, you watch the replay. First of all, you're Mark Andrews. You are not Odell Beckham Jr. You are not going to get around the D-back and go to the outside and gain another 20 yards. If you look at the play, he's gotten 10 yards between him and the safety playing off, you know, playing back. Just turn up, go to the end zone, and get tackled 10 yards from where you caught it instead of trying to get around people and make a big play. I don't know what you're going to do, Mark Andrews. And that fumble, to me, was the game. They were going in. They couldn't have been stopped. They were going to go score there. And the entire momentum of that game had shifted from the first half to where they were at that moment. The Ravens had completely shifted the momentum. And that game was going to go in a completely different direction than it did after that fumble. That is an absolute killer fumble, right? And Andrews, we know he had we'll get to obviously the end of the game. He had a big drop before the fumble. He doesn't come out and meet the media, which pisses me off. If you're going to be, you know, you got to come out and talk to the media after that play. But that's neither here nor there. But that was the moment in that game. And so ultimately, even like, then you get to the point where Josh Allen, if we're going to have this, like, who won the game, right? Who is the quarterback who won it? Who went there and took it? Josh Allen, at the end of the game, before the final drive from the Ravens, they have it, the Bills, they have it at the goal line to go in and score to end this game instead of kicking a field goal and making it an 8-point game and giving it to Lamar Jackson. Allen has the chance right there to go in. And on third down, instead, and Romo was talking about it. I thought Romo had a good game. They're talking about it. They've been running that version of the tush push or whatever, running it with Josh Allen at a successful level the entire game. Like, you have two plays on fourth down. I'm not giving Lamar Jackson another chance to beat me. Instead, they put him in shotgun and try and run him. And he loses the yards, and you have no choice but to kick the field goal and give Lamar Jackson the chance to win the game. And then you get to that final drive, and that's what bothers me so much, because that was it. Here we go. Lamar Jackson, 3 minutes and 23 seconds on the final drive of the game. Let's see who's the MVP. Let's see if he can drive the field and put this game, tie this game up. Go make the plays. We have our moment. He goes down, and he does it. And then on the two-point conversion, you could live with even, like, if he doesn't make the play, if they get stopped, if there's a great defensive play. But Lamar Jackson does everything you could possibly want him to do in this game. Yes, the two early turnovers. I get it. Right? Terrible interception, terrible fumble trying to do too much off of a botched snap. The final drive of the game, 3.5 minutes, he goes down the field, takes them down the field, puts it in the end zone, and then gives his all-world tight end the ball right in his chest to tie the game, and he drops it. That was the most unsatisfying. I feel like the card, I can't remember his name, the card player in Rounders, where he says, So unsatisfying. Like, that's what it was. Like, to go down the field, to watch that game, to know that it's these two quarterbacks battling for the MVP, everything it means, another crack at the Chiefs, another crack at Mahomes, another chance to get to the Super Bowl, another big game. Both of these quarterbacks debate all year long about who the MVP is, and none of them, in my mind, as great as Josh Allen was in this game, and he played a cleaner game, and they didn't have any turnovers, and he was, you know, incredible running it down their throat. He's such a load, it's unbelievable to watch him play the position. But he had an opportunity to go win it, and he didn't. And then Lamar Jackson has an opportunity to go tie the game and send it to overtime, where maybe this would have all been settled. He takes them down the field. He puts it in the end zone on an unbelievable play where he had, you know, and blame on the Bills, too. Why the Bills are allowing him to stand back there and not putting any kind of pressure on him and sending anybody and just allowing him to stand back there for 10, 15 seconds before he has to throw the ball. And he gets it to Likely in the end zone. And then he has the two-point conversion. They have the game tied, and we were going to get our answer. We were going to go to overtime, and I promise you, someone would have made a critical mistake. Someone would have made a big play. And instead of just going, okay, the Bills, I feel good for them. I'm looking forward to this game. Great. Lamar Jackson, you know, the same stuff, but the turnovers and obviously the Andrews play, but we would have – I wanted that answer. And early on, it looked like we were going to get it. Playoff Lamar is not good. Playoff Lamar in big games continues to make the bad mistake. This team gets away from the run like they did last year against Kansas City. Maybe not to the same extent, but still get away from who they are. Derrick Henry's not a factor in the game. They're down 11 points at the half. And if the Bills come out and put a score on the board on the first drive of the second half, this game is going the way of non-competitive. And instead, three and out. They have three straight drives with a score, two field goals and a touchdown, and they're going to take the lead, and Mark Andrews drops it. Lamar gets another chance. Mark Andrews drops it. And now it's, like, for me, I don't look at this game and go, Lamar Jackson stinks, or Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs. It's hard to look at it that way. I know the early mistakes, and that's absolutely part of the reason they lost, no doubt. And I don't even look at it and say Josh Allen won it, because he had an opportunity at the end of the game to go stick it in the end zone and end it, and he couldn't do it. So this is a game based on mistakes, and it's not a game based on Allen went out and took it and sent his team back to the AFC Championship game. Or Lamar Jackson cost himself because he continues to play the way he's played over the last handful of years in the playoffs. He went right down the field and had the game tied, and it was in his hands. It wasn't a bad throw. It wasn't a bad play call. It wasn't a great defensive play. It was, I had it, and he dropped it. And I'm sorry. I was like, that is the worst possible way to end that game with these two guys playing for everything they're playing for, another opportunity to go to Kansas City and take on Mahomes and try and defeat the two-time champion. Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are, I believe, a point-and-a-half favorite in the game. It should be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. But I got to tell you, as great as that game was, and as much fun as I was having watching it, and as many different wrinkles, and whether it's the penalties and the non-penalties, and what's roughing, and do running quarterbacks not get the benefit of the doubt, the way Mahomes does, you know, that conversation is going to last forever. But the ending of that game to me and everything about it was so anticlimactic and so unbelievably unsatisfying to not have a definitive answer on who won the game and who cost this team the game. Now you could say, oh, Chris, what are you talking about? 3 interceptions? Okay. 3.5 minutes, go tie the game, and he did everything he possibly could other than walk it in himself. And then we get to the NFC Championship game, which, again, we're going to screen. This is the worst year. Forget season and record and the 100-year football and, you know, a 1-8 record at home. This is the worst year. And this is where, and I know Fliegelman's going to agree with me and get a kick out of this. This is the year the Giants transformed into the Jets. Like, that's what's the, because now they are a laughingstock, and now they are the butt of everybody's joke. And now we have to watch Jaden Daniels go into Detroit against the best team in the NFC all year, a team that dominates in that building. And we got to watch Jaden Daniels as a rookie go in there and be the most mature, confident, steady, reliable, trustworthy, smart football player on the field? And go in there and beat the Detroit Lions? And now have an all NFC East NFC championship game? And then, of course, today, I mean, I don't know when Saquon Barkley's ever going to become an Eagle and not a former Giant. I'm hoping one day, at least for him, that eventually that happens, where he's no longer a former Giant and he's actually just a Philadelphia Eagle. But obviously, the big game, 200 plus yards, the two long breakaway touchdown runs, and everything that went on with that game. But to watch it, and I tweeted this out, because this is what it feels like to be a Giant fan, at least for me right now. Because what we're going to see here is the dichotomy of what they were and what they could have been. And the Giants are right in that middle area of just absolute nowheresville, because they weren't good enough to take Saquon Barkley, who is obviously an incredible player. They weren't good enough all these years to make Saquon valuable to them the way he's valuable to the Philadelphia Eagles. For years, they could not get good enough. They couldn't fix their line, whatever the case may be. They couldn't be. It was a mistake drafting him. If you listen to me at all, if you're a fan, I've been talking about this forever. You don't draft a running back too, certainly. And you certainly don't do it when your roster sucks and you have an aging quarterback and you don't have an answer at the quarterback position moving forward. You do not draft a running back. That doesn't change how great he is and how frustrating it is to know that if he's on a good team, the impact he can have. So the New York Giants for 6 years could not get good enough to have that great player be great for them. And they're not good enough for that. And then they're not bad enough to be able to draft Jaden Daniels, who they desperately wanted, who they were trying to trade up to get. So like, and a handful of Tommy Cutlet wins in the middle of the season last year hurt them and cost them the ability to get this quarterback. And now we got to watch it in our division. And please, I know you could say, well, if they're not good enough for Saquon Barkley, what makes you think they would have been good enough for Jaden Daniels? The quarterback position is so completely different. And please stop. I hear you guys call up. Stop talking about who, you know, what kind of team the Giants are and what's their identity. If you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter what your identity is. Get a quarterback, then work on your identity. What was the Washington Commanders' identity last year? 4 wins and the second pick in the draft? What's their identity now? Oh, if Saquon wasn't good in the Giants, neither would Jaden Daniels. The roster's not good enough. The offensive line's not good enough. I'm sorry, that's right. It's the powerhouse offensive line and the great roster of the Washington Commanders that suddenly catapulted them from within 1 year of being the second pick in the draft to the NFC Championship game. You're right. It's that tremendous offensive line that did it. It's the rest of that great roster. You got to watch the running back who you weren't good enough to make great, who the owner and the clip of him at the and the stupid hard knocks at the start of the year, and everything else that comes along with Saquon Barkley and everybody taking their shots, and now you've got to see this burgeoning young superstar quarterback who within on his rookie season, I mean, he's not just in the NFC Championship game. Now, I understand Goff played terribly, and I understand they made terrible mistakes and turned the ball over 5 times, and a lot of it is how the Lions handled themselves. But he went in on the road to the number one seed and went for it on fourth down after fourth down, made big play after big play, and took them down in their house. And we know how good the Eagles are, and now we got to watch Jaden Daniels in the division become the next great superstar in this game. This is an absolute disaster for the New York Giants. And they're going to have to figure out how to get on board and start to compete with this team. And it starts with getting a quarterback. And we'll talk about the draft. Oh, you shouldn't reach up and you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. You know, hey, listen, if you happen to draft a quarterback in the second round, you'll figure it out. Draft the best player available. The New York Giants need their answer at the quarterback position. They're not, there's the 49ers of a few years ago, and you saw how that goes, and they haven't won a Super Bowl. The Eagles have done a great job drafting. The Eagles have done a great job putting their team together. The Eagles have built a complete roster, even with a banged-up quarterback in Jalen Hurts and really no passing game to speak of. They were able to make it through an NFC to get to the NFC Championship game, and they've been a great team. Good luck building an entire roster to compete with the Philadelphia Eagles and the rest of this division now. The New York Giants have to find their answer to Jaden Daniels, not their answer to the roster of the Philadelphia Eagles. But it doesn't matter. It's just been what a miserable, stinking year. From all the losing to winning the one game they shouldn't have to being the laughingstock all year about that stupid, stupid Hard Knock show that they should never freaking done, to watching Saquon Barkley be in the MVP conversation and watching a quarterback they wanted and told us on that show that they wanted to trade up for and missed out because of games won by the great Tommy Cutlets. You got to watch him already dominate this league, go into the belly of the beast, number one seed on the road in a building where they dominate, kick the tar out of them, and now he's getting ready to play the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game. It is a nightmare for the New York Giants. And John,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 227, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number. Talking a little bit of football after a much better weekend. Still, you know, not great. I mean, last night was a good game. It had an opportunity to be a great game. I think we all deserve that overtime. And it's just, it's frustrating to me because I come away not having a definitive feeling about, like, either team. I'll be totally honest with you. If that went to overtime, I think Baltimore would have won the game. I think Baltimore had found itself a little bit in the second half. They got back to running the football a little bit. Lamar had kind of taken over the game. The Bills couldn't stick it in the end zone when they had the opportunity. Like, if Andrews catches that ball, I have a feeling overtime goes, you never know. And the new playoff rule, right? Where even if they score a touchdown, you get an opportunity. So I just felt like as bad as Lamar was in the first half, and really it was just, you know, the two mistakes. He threw a, as Romo told you, he threw a, you know, a pass. He had to make a decision on the pass quickly because he had someone in his face and didn't see the safety playing deep. Terrible decision, terrible pick. And then, obviously, the fumble, which is, you know, in this weather, you got to understand how the ball is slick and you can't be trying to make those plays. So, in the first half, he cost the team, no doubt. He had the two mistakes, and we were on our way to having that, well, Lamar sucks. Lamar, as great as he is in the regular season, he's one of those players where it's not the same in the postseason. And then in the second half, it's a completely different story. He got them back into the game. He took them down the field. I think he has the game won. I think if they tie that game, he's going to win it in overtime. They were the better team in the second half. And they were moving the ball. And if Mark Andrews doesn't have that fumble, they win the game there. They go ahead, and I'm telling, they weren't going to be stopped the rest of the game. So it's just, it's one of those things where I was rooting for the Bills. The whole show picked the Bills. I'm looking forward to Josh Allen getting another crack at Patrick Mahomes. But this game was so hyped up about these two quarterbacks. I know Lori was talking about legacy. It's about legacy. It's about the MVP. It's about these two great quarterbacks who have yet to get to a Super Bowl, obviously blocked by their nemesis who's waiting for them after this game. And you just wanted to see which quarterback was going to rise to the occasion, which one was going to fall. And even though, Josh Allen played well and didn't turn the ball over, he had an opportunity to ice the game, and he didn't. He gave Lamar Jackson a chance to come down and tie the game, and he should have. For Mark Andrews, I mean, this is a guy who's had a great career, right? He's got the touchdown record for the Ravens, one of the great, you know, tight ends of the generation, one of the better tight ends of the generation. And this year's been a wild year for him. Just whether the start of the year, I don't know if he was healthy or not. He was coming off an injury in the offseason, but he played terrible. You know, he was uninvolved, really, for the first couple weeks of the season. Remember that first game against the Chiefs, and likely had that enormous game, and it felt like, who's the starting tight end on this team? And then he kind of found it midway through the year, and he doesn't drop the ball. He had three drops all year. He had two drops in this game, including just, you know, the season ender. But I thought you come away from this game feeling like, I don't know if I've taken a step in any direction of how I feel about either of these quarterbacks. And now I'll tell you the truth. I don't think this is the year they're going to beat him. I've been trying to play this game all year. You're trying to do it, right? As, you know, horse race betting, you know, the term that I you know, learned from my years with Francesa and Monzo, right? But, like, you're trying to beat the favorite, right? You're trying to find a way to beat the favorite. And as we sit here, and the winner of this game gets an opportunity to go try and knock off the king and try and stop Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelsey, Taylor Swift, and stop this team from being the first team ever to win three consecutive Super Bowls. I don't know if the way the Bills ended this game makes me feel good about it. Because Kelsey's not going to drop that two-point conversion. That's not what the Chiefs do. The Chiefs are not going to drop the ball. The Chiefs are not going to make the turnover. The Chiefs are not going to make the critical mistake. When you're when you're third and three, I think it was third and three, down at the end of the third and four, at the goal line, with an opportunity to stick it in and end the game, you have to do that. You have to do that. And they took an 11-point lead into the half, and then were not the better team in the second half, and were a two-point conversion away from blowing it, and in overtime, I think they would have lost. I honestly believe the better team lost the football game. If you look at it, they lose the turnover battle 3-0. Right? Lamar Jackson turns it over twice. Andrews turns it over once. They lose the turnover battle 3-0. And yet, there they are at the end of the game with a chance to tie it, and they have it in their tight end's hands. The Bills should have won this game a hell of a lot easier than that. And if you're going to go into Kansas City, and you're going to go try and figure out how to take down a juggernaut of a team that knows how to win these games, they weren't ultra-ly impressive against the Texans. In fact, I don't think Mahomes, certainly early on in the game, didn't play well at all. And there's a bunch of questions about, you know, penalties, and there was a couple of penalties in that game that obviously helped the Chiefs enormously. But it doesn't matter who they play. That is going to be a tight game in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs don't make the mistakes. And as much as this Bills team, like entering the year, the thing about the Bills is, as now we get ready to see if they can be that team, and this can be the year of Josh Allen, who's been terrific all year and has led this team of, really, I mean, nobody expected this Bills team to be where they are. This is going to be a down year for the Buffalo Bills. Right? They're coming off the last year. They had to jettison some guys to get under the cap. They were kind of in a bad cap. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say cap hell, but they were in a tough position with the cap to start the year. They really don't have any weapons for Josh Allen. The defense, particularly, is where they lost some of the players. You expected the defense to take a step back. The Jets were going to be good. The Dolphins had Tua back. This was the year the Bills were supposed to take a step back. Instead, they host this game against the Ravens. And I heard, you know, and the other thing about the Ravens, too, they only have themselves to blame. And I heard Fliegelman say this with Lori, and we talked about it during the year a bunch. This Ravens team, think of some of the games and some of the rocks they pulled, you know, against the Raiders. How do you lose that game against the Raiders? Letting Gardner Minshew come down the field and beat you? This game could have easily been in Baltimore. If this game's in Baltimore, they win. If Andrews doesn't fumble, they win. If Andrews catches the two-point conversion, I think they win. I mean, I think they're the better team. I think they have better players, and they're playing without their best wide receiver in Flowers, who wasn't there. They got away from the run too early, got back to it in the second half, a couple of mistakes, and a critical drop. And that's why the Buffalo Bills are heading to the AFC Championship game. But this Bills team wasn't supposed to be here. It's here now, and they got to go try and take on a Kansas City Chiefs team that, all right, we've been saying this for years. Really, they've won the last two Super Bowls, certainly last year, with the idea of they're not as good as they've been. They're not as good as they've been, even this year, right, with the record, the number one seed. Last year, they had to go on the road. They had to go beat the Bills on the road. They had to go beat Lamar Jackson on the road. This year, despite still not feeling like the offensive juggernaut, when you have Patrick Mahomes, that's what, as great as the defense is, as great as Chris Jones is, as great as Spags is, like, this team is built on Patrick Mahomes ripping your heart out. And it hasn't been that way for a lot of the last 2 years, and despite all the winning this year, it still doesn't feel that way. So, I mean, I don't think they're certainly not unbeatable, and I think this Bills team absolutely can do it. But I got to tell you, watching this game last night, as well as they played early on, as much as Josh Allen's an incredible force when he wants to run the football, two rushing touchdowns in this game, and just his ability to take on contact, his ability to run over linebackers, plus the throws he makes, I understand that. But again, if they're in an opportunity, and I think the coach has to handle it differently and learn from this. First of all, there's no reason he should be in shotgun. But if they have an opportunity to stick it in the end zone with 4 minutes left to win a football game against Patrick Mahomes, you don't settle for a field goal and give Patrick Mahomes 3 minutes to break your heart. Because Kelce won't drop it. I promise you. That's not who this Chief team is. The Chief team is the team that makes that catch. They're the ones you drop the ball against. They're the ones who knock. And it just felt like coming off that game, I didn't get a declarative statement on if this Bills team is good enough, if Josh Allen's going to be good enough. They allowed the Ravens to come back after an 11-point deficit in the first half, and then couldn't do what they had to do to win. And really, defensively, they were going backwards for the last three Ravens drives of the game. They were on roller skates the last three drives of the Ravens game. And if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for the turnover, the fumble Andrews, and then the drop 2-point conversion, I think the Ravens win that game. So we'll see. It'll be a great game. Everyone will be looking forward to it next week. The other game, not so much, because, I mean, we'll break it down as we get through a week, but I am not looking forward to this week. This is a tough week for Giant fans. Because what Jaden Daniels has become and what he's turned that team into. I mean, that's why, like, I just don't understand anybody who doesn't want to see the Giants get a quarterback. I don't understand. Jaden Daniels, yes, was a talented quarterback, had a great year at LSU, much more highly regarded than the quarterbacks coming out of this class. I get it. But nobody knew he'd be this. And you give me all the different failed quarterbacks and failed draft picks. Only one matters if you hit it, because the Giants just had a good draft, right? And I've talked about this before. Saquon Barkley, unbelievable talent. Didn't help the Giants win. Andrew Thomas, Pro Bowl left tackle. Has not only helped the Giants win, it hasn't helped offensive line play. Dexter Lawrence, as good a interior pass rusher as maybe, you know, Carter in the for the Eagles. But, I mean, he's right there as one of the best defensive tackles in the sport. Hasn't impacted the Giants winning. Hasn't impacted good defense. Hasn't impacted the team at all. And Jaden Daniels comes in and turns a 4-win team into a 12-win team who just won 2 playoff games and is playing in the NFC Championship game and went into Detroit and beat them in their building. Doing it their way, putting up points. Yeah, I know that the Goff had a terrible game and they're letting wide receivers throw interceptions. I understand. And that was a tough game for both their coordinators. I don't know if it matters. I don't know if Jet fans, and you can let me know, Jet fans, at 888-808-1019. I don't know if Glenn and that defensive performance, we know how banged up they are. But that wasn't exactly a great performance, as Washington pretty much did whatever they wanted to do. And then clearly, the hotshot offensive coordinator, I mean, maybe leave some tricks in the bag, because that, I mean, I know Goff was awful and threw some picks, but not a great game for the Lions. That's a crushing loss for a Detroit Lions team that was great all year. They've been on this ascension to this point for the last three seasons. Like, this has been a three-year run up until this point where they're the best team in the NFC, the number one seed. And this was their year to make this. This was their year. They're going to lose possibly and probably both of their coordinators. Who knows what next year's team looks like? This was a huge game for them. This meant everything to them. And Jaden Daniels and his, you know, this, like I said, this is, you want to talk about building, right? Building a team. This is the epitome of what I'm talking about. It doesn't always work like this, but just look at what's gone on here. That's, you. Oh, you got it. It's about building it the right way, right? This is what Giant fans who don't want to draft a quarterback and don't believe it's the most important thing, and I'm short-sighted and I'm focused too much on the quarterback position. They should get an identity, draft a pass rusher, draft an offensive lineman, and let's start winning in the trenches, all that stuff, right? Build the team the right way. You could find a quarterback. You could find the Goffs of the world. Okay, build. The Lions just built for the last 3 years. They built and they have an identity. Their identity is they're going to run the football down your throat with their tandem. They're going to make big plays as long as they're playing indoors in the passing game. They're going to bite your kneecaps on the way up. They're going to go for it on fourth down and be super aggressive. I mean, their head coach, their style of play, they have an identity. The Lions have a great, unbelievable identity, and they've built it the right way. And they've built an offensive line. And they're a team with a winning culture. And they've done everything. They've done it the right way, and they've been building for years. And now they're the one seed, and they're the best team in the NFC. And then a hotshot quarterback just drafted this year comes into their building and beats them. They've been building for years. The Commanders made a pick at number two. And they're going to the NFC Championship, not the team that did it the right way, not the team that built from within, not the team that established an identity and went about things the right way. Nope. It's the losing franchise who couldn't get it out of their way for two decades who just got the right quarterback. That's it. Got the right quarterback. Lost enough. And you know what? We could thank the Jets, right? Didn't the Jets hit the last second field goal to beat them the last game of the year? Second to last game of the year. When they had an opportunity to win that game, Jets were losing by a point, kicked the field goal to keep the four-win Washington Commanders at four wins. But that's what I'm talking about. The Lions did it the way many Giant fans want to do it. You get the coach, you build the offensive line, you build the team. You could get any, you know, you get a journeyman quarterback or whatever. You could pay a quarterback in free agency. There's options. Did it everything right at home in the playoffs. And the Washington Commanders, who have been the dregs of the NFL forever, drafted a quarterback. That's it. And they went in there and beat him. Because the quarterback is everything. And that is the best. I mean, you want to talk about it. You could talk to your blue in the face. Hey, it's not all about the quarterback. It's about the, you know, it's about building the team. It's about this. It's about that. Oh, I'm not trading. I'm not taking a, you think I'm trading up and giving up draft equity? What, are you crazy? I'm going to do that for a quarterback that I don't even believe in? Well, if the Giants believe in him, this is what can happen. C.J. Stroud, right? Yes, he lost to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Texans were nowhere. The Texans were one of the worst franchises in the sport for the last 4 or 5 years. Davis Mills losing games left and right. They've now won two playoff games in consecutive years. The Washington Commanders were even the Giants and Daniel Jones could beat Washington. They were awful. Don't tell me they have a great team. Don't tell me they built it the right way. Don't tell me any of that. They drafted a quarterback. That's it. Jaden Daniels has lifted this team in 1 year to the NFC Championship game. In 1 year. In 1 year, he transformed them into a team that built and rather beat the winning culture and the process and the building of a roster of the Detroit Lions, who've been on a 3-year process. And you know what? They have a very good chance to go into Philadelphia and take down the great roster and the great offensive line and Saquon Barkley. And they're going to do it all with drafting a quarterback number two. Because that's what wins.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right. Nick Monaco here with you on the Fan 253. And I know for Giant fans, look, I got to tell you, I am so... Are we still doing this Saquon Barkley thing? Like, I am so... It's just so dumb. All right, but besides the obvious fact that we say all the time, like, yes, he wouldn't... We all know he wouldn't be this good with the Giants. That's their own fault, not his. But he wouldn't be this good with the Giants. The idea... Oh, like, I still see, you know, just Tuck, you know, put it out. Oh, we couldn't pay this guy? I appreciate it, man. I understand he's great. I understand. What would that have done for the New York Giants? Like, on the only argument is that it's turned the Giants into a bit of a laughingstock, or that it's allowed people to poke fun at the New York Giants as Saquon Barkley's done this kind of work this year. But, like, and there's
Like, they're better off. They were. I still think they should have traded him the year before. They should have never drafted him. And I don't think it was. I don't think they were wrong in letting him go, because they weren't going to win with him. And this is going to be the best year. I would be surprised. Who knows what happens next? But this is going to be the best year of his contract. Like, he's not going to be better moving forward. This is the best Saquon Barkley Philadelphia is going to see. It would have been wasted on the New York Giants this year. Wasted. And again, it's the nature of the running back position. I hate to tell you this. Jaden Daniels, as we've been talking about here, he took a four-win team. Four-win team, picking second in the NFL draft, and he's got them to the NFC Championship game. Saquon Barkley went to a Super Bowl-caliber team, and guess what? They're a Super Bowl-caliber team. They went to the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders as their running back. They've been winning for a while. He hasn't transformed this team. And let's be honest, they had a chance to blow the game. They had a chance. He was going down to beat them. The throw to Puka at the end of the game, I don't know why. I mean, he didn't even give Puka a chance. It was a terrible throw from Stafford. But Stafford and the Rams team, that really isn't that good, had an opportunity to go down and beat him. Why do we care so much? I understand he's a great player. And the Giants stink. I get it. Barkley, good. Giants stink. Should have kept him. It wouldn't have mattered. And I know he's with it. Oh, you can't let him go to Philadelphia. You got to sign a contract with a player that doesn't make sense for the team just so he doesn't go to your opponent. Like, it doesn't matter. The Eagles are going to beat the Giants twice this year anyway. With Saquon Barkley, without him. And we still are so hung up on this. Who cares? The Giants are so bad for a myriad of ways. And here's the other thing. They were bad with him. I love it. It's not like the Giants were good, got rid of Saquon Barkley, and now they're bad. They've been bad the whole time. They've been bad with Saquon Barkley. I don't know why we continue to, like, can he just be an Eagle? Why? I've never seen a guy who's done nothing. Like, I'm sorry, I hate to say this because he's a great player and it's not his fault. I want to get this straight. It's not his fault. It's not Don Mattingly's fault he never won a championship. It's not Ted Williams' fault he never won a championship. It's not Dan Marino's fault he never won a championship. I'm just saying, I don't know. For 6 years, and one and a half of them, he wasn't there. And he missed a bunch of time during other seasons. But I don't know if I ever remember a player who has no signature moments, no great, you know, one great win. And let's be fair, although Saquon Barkley was the reason, the number one reason for that team making it to the playoffs, Daniel Jones won that playoff game in Minnesota. Not Saquon Barkley. Daniel Jones did, amazingly enough. But, I mean, this guy never won a thing for the Giants. Never did a thing. He was the best player on a lousy team. That's it. Why is he so, like, why is it so hard a year in playing a playoff game? Why is he so ingrained as a Giant that we can't let it go? They didn't do any winning with him. They wouldn't have done any winning with him this year. I understand you want to keep great players. I get it. But if, like, the running back position, look, if you look, I'll pull it up on the second half of the in the 3 o'clock hour because I saw it and I want to go back to it. If you look at Tracy's numbers this year and you look at Saquon Barkley's numbers the last year with the Giants last year, they are damn near identical. Now, I'm not saying he's as good as Saquon Barkley. I don't think if you put him on the Eagles, he's rushing for 200 yards and breakaway runs. I'm not saying that. Saquon's obviously the better back and a great player, arguably, and certainly this year, inarguably, the best running back in the NFL. But he didn't impact winning for the New York Giants. Why are we so fixated on this guy? Why did every touchdown he scores, it's a dagger to the heart? Who cares? Is in your heart Teflon by this point if you're a Giant fan? Do Saquon Barkley still hurt when you're the worst team in the NFL? And it's been this way with Saquon Barkley? I for the life of me, I cannot understand why so many Giant fans and so many people, the reaction is, oh my God, how did they move on from Saquon Barkley? How did they move on from Saquon Barkley? Like he's the reason they're winning. He sold jerseys. He was a fan favorite. He was their best player. It didn't do anything for them. And we're still crying every time he breaks a run. I still got my buddies texting me, I'm sick. Like, why are you sick? Honestly, why are you sick? Because he's helping a winning team already who've won and been in this game? And been to a Super Bowl? Been to two Super Bowls in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years? Whenever it was when they won one, they've won a Super Bowl. They've been to another. They're the best team in the division every year without Saquon Barkley. That's all the accomplishments they did without Saquon Barkley. And honestly, right now, if for this, you know, we'll get to it on the other side here, up against the update, I'll tell you who I think Giant fans should be rooting for in this game, if you're so inclined to actually care and want to root. I'll tell you.